Welcome to the Azure Podcast, a series of short discussions on various topics related to the Microsoft Cloud Platform. Your hosts, Kale Teeter, Evan Basilik, and Sujit Mello, discuss a specific topic on each show to give you a high-level overview of that topic, and resources to get more information should you wish to dig further. For more information on our show, please see our website at azpodcast.com.
Welcome back to the Azure Podcast. This is episode number 107, being recorded on the 16th of December, 2015, with special guest Piyush Joshi. My name is Sujit Mello, and on Skype with me I have my esteemed colleagues Kale Teeter, Evan Basilik, and our special guest Piyush. Now, before I give Piyush a chance to introduce himself, let's do a quick run through on a few updates that came out this past week. Kale, thanks for making a note of those updates. Anyone in particular that you'd like to start off with?
Yeah, sure. I can start off with some big data news. The Azure Data Lake offering that we have up there, which is really new. It's a really new offering we have in the portal. There's actually been some enhancements to that to now integrate it with the Azure Data Catalog service, which also is pretty new. I've had a chance to work with both of these very lightly, but I think the idea here is to be able to kind of start to kind of register or kind of catalog, I'm trying to use that word, but kind of say here's where our data sources are, like our systems of record, and in that point how can we take some of the stuff that we have in Data Lake, where we're bringing in some of this either structured or unstructured data into Data Lake, and how are we able to register that so people can find it? Because once we start pouring lots of data into this thing, the issue becomes, finding that needle in the haystack or the insight that you're actually looking for.
Right. Yeah, that's definitely very interesting. You know, the one that I really liked is this glimpse for application insights telemetry. It was a surprise. I hadn't seen this one coming. And just a quick kind of background on what this is. I mean, I'm sure all our listeners are familiar with application insights, but that requires, you to hit the application insights service, and then you go to the portal, and you can look at logs and things like that. Glimpse is kind of like a developer version of it, where you can do stuff on your development machine without having that to wait for that round trip with the application insights service. So it would be used primarily as you're developing an application to make sure that you try to make it a little more performant and things like that. And then of course once you go into production, then you have the full application insights feature automatically enabled. So it kind of gives you this nice developer kind of mode for application insights, which I thought was very good. Gave this good thought, and it's a very good addition to the application insights service.
Yeah, it seems like a neat combination, right? Because a lot of times you are doing the design time, debugging, but that server-side data is useful, and it's already plugged into your app, so why not leverage it, right, if your app's already generating this stuff? So, yeah, I thought that was a pretty nice combination as well.
Yeah. And by the way, Piyush, I know you haven't introduced yourself, but if any of these kind of piqued your interest or you're familiar with them, feel free to chime in as well.
Yeah, sure.
And then what's next? DocumentDB supporting top, this is where more like a query where you could do like the top results. Is that what it is?
Yeah, this is some further enhancements to the kind of the querying aspect of DocumentDB, which is one of our NoSQL variants. And basically it's around being able, if anybody's familiar with the T-SQL version of top, to return like maybe the top 10 or, basically limit the result set coming back. There's paging that's been introduced with top. There's been some level increases on the, with the conjunctions that you can use there for ORs and INDs. There's been some performance improvements. But just overall, there's been a couple things that's, if anybody's interested in DocumentDB from a querying standpoint, a lot of enhancements there. So it's good to take a look at that if you're into the NoSQL databases.
Excellent. That's great. And then the last one on our list is the Store Simple Virtual Array.
Yeah, I like
which
this one.
I thought it was simple. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, you had to kind of, if you thought things through, you had to see this coming, right? StorSimple is our appliance that we sell that, you know, you basically put this thing in your on-premises data center and you have the concept of hot, warm, and cold storage, right? Hot's on SSD drives on the local device, warm is on traditional drives on the local device, and then your cold is stuck up in Azure storage. And the device is, you know, it has all the logic about, you know, preloading stuff and kind of evaluating what you're using and what you're accessing. But it's really integrated with, you know, Azure storage, just kind of extends that. Well, now we've, you know, developed the ability to just deploy the software on any virtualized server on premises, you know, Hyper-V or VMware, right? So now it really says you don't have to go buy the hardware. You can just basically install the software and get the same capabilities. Now, I suspect, you know, it'd be interesting to see how this ends up working relative to the hot and warm storage, because maybe it's not as fast and you don't have the, you know, SSD to traditional spinning platters type jump, but you still have, and I suspect this is really what we're trying to enable, is the on-premises data backed by Azure storage really accessible to anybody, right? Because I think that's really the sweet spot for a lot of people is, I don't really care whether my data is accessible in microseconds or seconds. I just want to be able to stuff all the stuff I don't use but I don't want to get rid of in the cloud.
Right. Yep, that certainly looks like it. And again, this is just for application data, right? I mean, this is for stuff that, as you said, could be archive data, things that, you know, could go back years, right?
Yeah,
and based on how old it is, it goes into a more durable storage.
Right. Now, what's interesting is we talk about in the documentation about that has the ability to be exposed as a NAS or a, you know, a SAN so that you can present LUNs. Well, if you're presenting these as, you know, NAS devices or SANs, there's nothing to say you can't present those LUNs as disks to application servers. So, you know, and we actually talk about it in this, and I need to go do some digging, but I mean, I can conceivably, I guess you could put your application data there, and then if you have some app that, again, doesn't access some of its data regularly, you're getting, again, the benefit of moving that stuff off-premises. Now, I guess there's probably a pretty decent hit when you go from, you know, hey, I need off-premises data, I need to bring it down locally and then access it. But, you know, if your app profile is such that that's the, you know, the use profile that you have, I suspect there's some real significant benefits to pushing that storage off premises in terms of reducing your on premises storage costs, like your SANs, right? The suckers are expensive.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Well, we'll take all these links and resources and put them in the show notes for our listeners so they could review it a little further. But for now, let's turn the spotlight over to our special guest, Piyush Joshi, and the topic that we're going to discussed with him today is about mobile engagement services. I think we briefly mentioned this in one of our previous podcasts, isn't it? You know, just like one of the new services that were being offered, and I'm really glad and fortunate that Kale was able to connect with Piyush to get him on the show today. So, Piyush, can you please give our listeners a quick overview about your background, and then we'll dive into the topic.
Yeah, sure. So thanks for having me. So I'm Piyush Joshi. I'm a senior program manager on the Azure Mobile Engagement team. And today we'll just talk about what Azure Mobile Engagement is and what kind of value it provides to our customers and who is it like really targeted to.
And now, have you been in this role for a while, or what did you do before in this new service?
Yeah, so I was working with the Azure Notification Hub service before joining this Azure Mobile Engagement. And this Azure Mobile Engagement, this service is a relatively new offering, and it kind of is targeted for like the mobile app developers and publishers. So this is kind of an exciting space to be in right now.
Yeah, and you guys are kind of on the leading edge to, you know, some of our shift as a company, right? Because you're leveraging our cloud services, but you're also, you know, shipping this SDK and this capability for really anybody, right? iOS, Android, you don't care.
Yeah, that's what I always think, like with the Microsoft's vision of the cloud and mobile, like this area is the most exciting. And like what you mentioned, that we are also making sure that it's not just Windows platform, but we make sure we support iOS, Android, even like cross platform, like Cordova, etc., PhoneGap, etc.
So I'll pose my question to you, because I've read, you know, Tajit and Kale have heard me talk about this before. Is it mobile first, cloud first, or cloud first, mobile first?
I'll probably say cloud first, mobile first.
Yeah, of course he's going to say that. What else? So I'm sure all our listeners are familiar with mobile services. So where does this engagement come from? Like, can you elaborate a little bit more on that?
Yeah, so the mobile engagement in general, it's kind of an evolution of how mobile apps are moving towards. So, in general, once you publish your mobile app in the App Store, after that, as the users are downloading that app, after that, as an app publisher, you don't really know what they are doing with the mobile app, like how they are using the mobile app. Have they played around with maybe like 1 hour or 1 minute or 1 day, and then are they satisfied with what you provided in the app, or did they uninstall it? If you have published a game, then are they like really playing that game? Are they going to different levels, etc., or not? So this is kind of the problem space that we solve. And the way we solve it is with mobile engagement. Like for any app users, the only way that you can really reach to that app user is on the mobile, is through the push notification. But it's not like previously we used to send like this blast of push notification to everyone saying that, hey, are you opening this app, or click here to open this app, that kind of a deal. But that leaves kind of a distaste in the mouth of the app users. Like they just feel that it's a spam. It just it's wrongly targeted for them. Like I don't care like what kind of push notification I'm getting. I'll just go and uninstall the app. So now the world is moving towards sending more targeted and personalized push notifications. So that's what our service Azure Mobile Engagement provides. So it has two key pillars to it. The one is all about collecting, analytics data about how the users are using the app. And all this analytics data, we talk about analytics as behavioral analytics. So behavioral analytics means that it tells you that how the app users are using, which screens are they going in the app, where are they spending more time, how many sessions are they doing, how much time are they really spending, what's kind of the user path, like what's the path that they took in your app, etc. So this is different than the App Insights service provides that we were just talking before. App Insights is more about performance analytics, like how much time are the different calls taking, or things like that. So for mobile, Azure Mobile Engagement, this behavioral analytics, this is one key pillar. And then the second part, where the engagement part comes, is the part about being able to create rich segments based on this analytics data that was created. So for an example, you can create a segment of your users who are, say, on iOS platform and who have not opened the app in the last 10 days or 15 days. Or a set of users who are on Android platform and who, if, for example, you have an e-commerce app, then you can create a segment of all your users who browsed a particular category. And they even added items in the cart, but they didn't actually went ahead with buying those items. So once you have created all these segments, then you can turn around and send very, very targeted notifications only to this set of customers. So you can just send a notification to, the customers who did not make the purchase. You can send them some kind of a coupon or some kind of an incentive for them to open your app and then go ahead and make that purchase. you can send kind of a notification to all your users who maybe they are stuck at one particular level of the game, providing them some kind of a hint so that they move to the next level and then again get re-engaged. So these are kind of the scenarios that we solve with Azure Mobile Engagement, and that's where our our tagline comes. So we talk about we are here to maximize your app usage, retention, and monetization of the mobile app.
So that sounds like you talk about the ability to see, like a lot of that sounds like stuff I've heard of before. But the one scenario you called out about to figure out who hasn't run your app. That kind of implies there has to be some that and I'm assuming that's where the Azure component comes in, that there's got to be some cloud component to this that is saying, hey, I have this device ID or whatever the identifier is, and we haven't seen any data from them in so long. Is that kind of how you tackle that problem?
Yeah, that's right. So we have SDKs available for all the platforms, so iOS, Android, Windows Phone, and even PhoneGap Cordova. So the first thing the app developer has to do is to embed this SDK in their mobile app. And once they have embedded that SDK, so from that point onwards, we start sending some basic data about the mobile app. So we collect technical data like what's the screen size, whether they are accessing the app over Wi-Fi or wireless network or like some carrier network or what that carrier network is, things like that. So some basic data. And then you can also do some additional instrumentation in the app about where the user clicked or which screen did they go or how much time did they spend in adding items to the cart, stuff like that. So we have that SDK and all the capabilities in the SDK to instrument your mobile app. Now, once you have done that, then we start collecting all the data and we send it to our platform. And our platform also has a separate, like a portal. So it's kind of a very SaaS-like service, software as a service, where you also get a separate portal as the app owner, to be able to view all your analytics data and, like create those segments and send the targeted notifications.
That's pretty cool, because I know I've got an internal app that I use and we manage. And one of the things that I've always kind of struggled with is how do I tell people about a new feature? It sounds like
exactly.
You could certainly use your app to say, hey, I see this user has never used this feature. Pop it up and say, hey, did you know this exists?
Yeah, so this is like one of the common scenarios, and we can talk about some of the other scenarios later on. But this is one scenario where you can send a notification, only to those users who have not opened that page or not used that feature, to tell them about that feature. And in terms of notifications, we also support two types of notifications. So two types, as in there is one, like the what we call system notification or out-of-app notification, or these are the regular notifications that you will see in the notification center. And then in addition to that, we also support something what we call as in-app notification. So an in-app notification is when the user is in the application itself. At that point, you can send a notification. And these in-app notifications, they are much more customizable. Like you can send a full screen HTML content pushed out from the service to the app user. So in your scenario, you can like write a quick, how to set of steps. You can embed like images, HTML links and whatnot. And you can send that from the service to only those users who have not opened that page or who have not used that feature.
Man, that's cool, because I'm probably going to go implement this over the Christmas holiday, because I was going to spend some time on this.
Cool. And then on top of that, because we have the separate portal, and also because of this SDK, which is collecting all the data, once you have sent out the notification, you'll also get to see all the metrics about how many users clicked on the notification, how many actually viewed that, or how many just plain dismissed that. So you also get that 360-degree view that whatever that notification that you're sending out, is it really being useful to the audience, or is it just being considered spam?
Nice.
Hey, Josh,
one question
I have. Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, so one question I had was when someone's getting started with this, because this is kind of a new offering, what's GA now, but if they're just getting started with this, you mentioned there's some SDKs available to them, so they can just go ahead and bring those into their project or their mobile app. When they do that, if they were just getting started and said, okay, let me put that in there, they'll get a base set of data back, right, about
yes.
Things if they did nothing other than just put the SDK in there.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then they could start to build on top of that
as
they start to explore more or learn more features and things.
Yeah, exactly. So we have the getting started tutorials, which are on the azure.microsoft.com site. And for each of the platforms, we talk about that basic integration only, that you don't have to do a lot of these things that we talked about, just the basic integration, which will allow you to be able to connect your mobile app to the platform and being able to see all the data from the which the SDK is sending to the backend, to the platform. And then it will also take you through how to send these push notification, how to configure the push notification part of it, and then how to send these push notifications from the service.
Piyush, how easy is it to do the analytics of the data? You know, that's always been a problem, right? You're collecting all this data, and you said you have this new portal that you set up. Is it a big deal to understand how the analytics are set up and to create these custom queries or push notifications?
So the custom analytics in the mobile apps, just the SDK part of it, it will collect some basic data automatically, so you don't have to do anything at all. Like the part that I talked about, the technicals part, which tells you about the screen size and wireless and carrier network, all that, that's just collected automatically just because the SDK is in the app. And then on top of that, the basic, like we support collecting some basic, some basic data. So things like you have screens. So what we call as activities. So you can instrument all your screens say that, okay, that will tell you that which screens the user went, how much time they spent on the screens, stuff like that. Then you can also instrument events independently. So all the click events, etc. So they are all like you have one call to like one API to call to send that information to our platform backend. And then on top of it, we have some, you can also like collect errors, crashes, stuff like that. So like all of this data that we are collecting, it's all so that it allows you to send that targeted notification to these users. So that's why like we don't call our service as like just yet another analytics solution. It is all about engagement solution. So the scenarios that we cater to is being able to send a notification to my users who are seeing a particular crash. So because you're able to collect that data because of our analytics component, you're also able to target those users saying that, hey, we are aware of this crash and we are working on a fix for this. And then here is an update.
Now, the analytics data that you're collecting, do you have to when it's presented, is there a special language that's involved in trying to collect all that information? Like, how do you,
So because we have a separate portal, so it is very visual. So all the data will, you will be able to see the data in visual form and different charts and formats, and you can do filters and stuff. So the viewing of the data is designed for a non-developer audience. Like, you can just go to the portal. The data has already been collected. And you're able to see both a real-time view of the data as it is coming through in these different charts and formats. And then you also get an aggregated view of the data. So once you go to the portal, we have different tabs which will take you to things like how many users were there for my app in the last 30 days or last 7 days. You can also filter by version. You also get to see that what is my kind of retention matrix of like how many users started on a particular day and are they still using the app or not. So it is all very visual. Like you don't have to do any custom querying or anything. You will just be presented with the data and you can just view it in the portal.
Boy, that sounds great. Thanks. And this is all aggregated information, or can you actually drill down and do a specific device if you really had to?
So we have, so this is a good point. We also have APIs available, and this was the part we didn't talk about, but we also have APIs available which will allow you to pull data out from our system and also, you know, like, integrate with other, like if you want to integrate this data with some other data from coming from some other, say CRM system or CMS or some other IT systems, then using this APIs, you can also connect the data that we have collected to whatever other data that you have. Like some of our customers run these scenarios that a user has come to a store, like to make a purchase, and that data is going in some other backend CRM system. And they want to send a targeted notification to those users saying that, hey, maybe like you can also use this mobile app to make the purchase. So you can collect the data that has come from the CRM system. You can connect it to our platform through those APIs, and you can set up the notification to these users who made the purchase in store.
Yeah, one question too, Piyush, on the limits of this. Is there tiered versions of this, or do we just set up one? I see you basically set up an account, and then from that account it launches into your custom portal you were talking about. So, like, is there different tiers that people can subscribe to get different performance levels, or is there just one? And, like, how's it priced kind of thing? Is there a cost for this?
Yeah, that's a good question. So our pricing is, so all the features are available to everyone, but the pricing is based on, so it is still a tiered pricing, but the tiering is based on the monthly active users of your mobile app. And that's the only criteria. Mm-hmm. So the monthly active users, what we define as the set of users who opened the app at least once in the last 30 days. So it will not count any users who installed the app and have not opened the app. So it will only be active users. And then the tiering is based on how many active users are there. So pricing-wise, it's kind of very cheap because it is based on all about active users. So if your app is really popular, then you will pay maybe a few hundred or $1,000, but otherwise it's very cheap.
And if you have that many users, I think you can probably afford it.
Yeah. So actually, like, we selected the pricing because we also wanted to show our commitment in terms of, like our pricing is not based on the push notifications, like how many you can send as many push notifications as you want. It's based on the active users because we also want our platform to be used to grow your usage base. And that's how we will be getting money. Like if you have a lot of users, then we will also be getting more money.
That's nice. That really kind of, you know, kind of proves and demonstrates to people that, you know, our best interests are theirs, and we want to partner with them rather than just kind of soak them for money up front.
Yeah, I mean, like, we want the customers who are using our platform to be successful, and for them, the success means that more app users are using the app, opening the app, that kind of a thing. So, yeah, exactly. We want them to be successful, and in that, we will find success.
Nice. Do you have any, what are the future plans that you have for this product? I mean, you know, something that maybe is publicly known or will be, you know, something that you can share with our listeners.
Yeah, so one thing in general that we have is, like on our roadmap, definitely to you know, like, so all the data that we are getting, all the analytics data that we have, it is in our platform. We want to be able to expose it to the customer so that they can export that to, and maybe like some other analytics solution to do like a more in-depth study of the mobile app users. That's kind of one of the key directions that we will be going forward in the next year.
That's excellent. Thank you. Well, that's a great, great product. I must say, you guys gave it a lot of thought, and it came out good. I like what I hear. I'm sure our listeners do too. Guys, you have any more questions for Piyush?
No, Piyush, this was great. Thanks for coming, man.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah. It's great.
Yeah, much appreciated. This is great data, and I'm sure, like Sujeet said, anybody out there running on mobile platforms, take a look at this. I mean, it's a new offering. I think it's awesome.
I like the fact that it also runs on Cordova, which is a cool thing. Very good. All right, Piyush and guys, thanks for all your time.
And, all right, thank you. Yes, thanks for having me.
Have a good day.
Yep, thanks. Bye, guys.
Okay. Bye. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you have any comments or questions, please use our Twitter handle at Azure Podcasts. Background music has been taken from ccmixter.org under the Creative Commons license. Thank you, and see you next time.